to the people. Welcome to 2022. We are on the move from the nonsense into the good sense. This is Mike Africa Jr. and this is the On the Move podcast here on the Black Love Podcast Network, where we illuminate the struggles of the people, inform the uninformed, and give you nothing but the truth. On the Move is here to disrupt the system and spark a global revolutionary change. The change is what we need. Like Sam Cooke said, the change is going to come. But like Gandhi said, you got to be the change you want to see in the world. And even though Gandhi wasn't perfect, he said something that was true. And when the power of truth is present, you better respect it. So check this out. We are going to start off 2022 right with a perfect guest. She is an unapologetically Black woman that also identifies as a warrior scholar, a joyful militant, an evaluator, sister and friend, as the founder of Ubuntu Research and Evaluation in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We got to talk about these terms. I'm really super excited and looking forward to chop it up with the one and only Dr. Monique Liston. All right, Monique. So
hey.
What do you go by? What do I call you? Do I call you Dr. Liston? Doc? Monique? What's up?
Most folks call me Dr. Mo.
Dr. Mo. I like it. Doc, I'm going to write that down so I don't forget it. Okay, so here we go. First, give me two of 2022. Let's get into it and refresh the people who may have forgotten for a second there. Activists are multifaceted, and oftentimes people don't think of us as doing anything other than rallying and protesting. But give me two is a way to spotlight some of the other good things we got going on in our lives. So, Dr. Mo, I want us to share two things that made us smile last week. And I'm gonna go first. So I'm gonna give you a chance to like think about some of those things. And I'm gonna cheat a little bit too, because something that happened to me that was amazing that some people may have saw, but I didn't talk about it on the podcast yet. The first thing is, I got engaged. As funny as that sounds, anybody that's been listening to the show, they know that Robin and I have been together for a long time. We've been together for 24 plus years, and yo, so when we first got together, we did a old school jump in the broom type marriage, John. Growing up in MOVE, we didn't do things that necessarily like by the legal way. So we were just together. We were committed to each other for all those years. But I decided that I was going to get down on one knee the old fashioned way and give her a rock. So I did that. I was nervous too, like just because we've been together for 24 and a half years. Don't mean that I wasn't nervous. My hand was shaking, bro. It was looked like if I had a glass of water in my hand, I might have spilled every bit of it. I was so nervous. I don't know what I would have been able to like do if she had said no. So I was like scared to death. The other cool thing that I did that made me smile was I went to Miami. So my parents and I, we did a film that is on PBS right now called I Am Free, Now You're Free. And they were doing a film screening in Miami. And you know, Florida, they wide open. They don't worry about coronavirus as much as some of us up here in the north. So we did a screening down there. And it was cool because aside from the screening itself, my dad got a chance to see the ocean for the first time since he went to prison 40 years ago.
I'm supposed to compete with that.
I mean, I got a pretty spectacular couple gimme twos, right? But I'm sure you got something good too. Listen, it's not a competition. You know, those are two spectacular things, and they don't happen every day. So, you know, Dr. Mo, just give me two. What you got?
One is I hired a new staff member, and the reason why I'm saying this is one of my give me twos is like the ability to provide a Black woman or femme with a liberatory experience after they've been like really disenfranchised in their professional realm just really is fulfilling. To be like, sis, come over here, we got you, and they are super excited to join our team, and it's just like a freedom. They're getting a salary they didn't imagine, doing work they couldn't imagine. So that feels good to be able to provide that opportunity for another Black woman. So that's number one. I feel good about that.
Okay.
I think number two is, I don't have a good good one. I mean, you hit with like two major life ones that I'm like, okay.
I mean, it good, but look, both of the ones that I just told you cost me money. You making people money. That's a different thing. You know what I mean? Look, I'm out of grip right now. That rock cost me some bread, and she don't even wear it because, you know, she's scared to mess it up, right? But whatever. Anyway, come on, give me the other one that you're doing better than me in our.
I think number two is I did get to spend time with the next generation. You know, because of COVID, like, you know, everybody's been separated, quarantining, all of that. And so there's been babies that have been born over the last year that people have not had a chance to see. But thankfully, I was able to see like some of the younger babies who haven't been seen by a lot of the family because of traveling and COVID and stuff like that. So I got to hold a baby, which is more rare than I could ever imagine in the middle of a pandemic. As somebody who is like, I'm a trained doula. So I used to be with babies all the time. So for it to be so rare is a thing. So that's bringing me joy.
That is so special. Hey, talking about competing. Look, check this out. I got four kids, four great, amazing kids, and I have eight godchildren. I love children, and I try to be the best godfather that there can be. Like, I want people to want me to be their godfather. You know, I might not say yes all the time, depending on the parents. Because when you enter into that space, you don't get just the baby. You get the whole package, right? So you got to be careful. You got some good ones. Good, give me twos. So when my producer first told me about you, right, and I read about Ubuntu and the mission and, the mission statement, and I'm like, yo, this is dope. Like, this really is some cool work. And then I read Milwaukee. My first thing that came to my mind was, I wonder how many black people in Milwaukee. It don't seem like it's that big. I don't know. But everybody's, I imagine you must have a black community. It caught me off guard, though. I got to say it, because I just, so when other people say it, what is their response? Is it the same as mine?
Everybody, like, are you the only black person in Milwaukee? Then it's like, I didn't know there were black people in Milwaukee. And that's always the reaction. And it's part of why I love that we get to go so hard, who we are, being unapologetically black on all fronts, but like repping a 414 the whole time.
That's dope. It's like, I'm a put it on the map for black people. Nice.
We here.
There you go. 414 in the house. What does Ubuntu mean? Like, the word.
So loosely translated, right? Because there's so many concepts in native African tongues that don't really translate to our Western languages. But loosely, people think about I am because we are. And the reason we even went with that name is my research was about understanding Black folks' sense of dignity. Like, how do we respect and protect and fulfill a sense of dignity for Black folks? And if we're going to start making a name for ourselves, let's connect it back to concepts that are grounded into our native tongues, as opposed to putting it into some concepts that are like rooted here in Western languages. So the thing that was most illuminating after doing lots of study about like Ubuntu and its conception and how that language was used, it was like, that's the most fitting. Like, we are because I am as an individual, and y'all are because y'all are as an individual, and there's no way, you know, like Marimba Ani says, let that circle be unbroken. Like, we have to make sure that connection is there.
Okay. So what got you into all of this? I mean, being from Milwaukee, right? Did you just like come out of your mama belly and be like, I want to be a joyful, militant Ubuntu person for the culture? Or was there like an aha moment?
A little bit of both.
A little bit. Okay. Talk to me.
There's some aspects where I'm like, I don't know. I can't explain it. I can't even tell you where I've learned or who taught me a thing. I just know it's in me, you know, and elders have seen it in me before. And they're like, that's that seed. I don't know where it came from, but it's in you. You just got to deal with it. But the other part is like, as you know, I'm from Milwaukee, born and raised, but my mom sent me off to Howard, and I got a chance to really sit at the feet of some, for all of Howard's faults, there's amazing Black scholars and intellectuals and Pan-African theorists there that really like had an impact on me. And it was that experience that just like, I continued to nurture and stay connected to all of those people and professors who really were like, we about this life. This is about Black folks. This is about Pan-Africanism. This is about us thinking about our independent spaces and protecting them. And that sort of energy just like never left me. And so wherever I went, I was always plugging back into that group that I met on the campus of Howard University. And it sounds cliche, but like it is the Mecca. Like it's the Mecca.
Oh, man. Oh, man. I love the energy and the vibe and the spirit that you bring into this conversation right now. Like it just feels really good and like wholesome and like just positive energy. I love it. Joyful. It's joyful. I wondered about that though. Joyful militant, right? So like when I think of the word militant, I'm thinking about like soldiers in arms, you know, standing side by side, arms on the hip or folded or something, like in some kind of like stern type of way. But then you put the word joyful in front of it and it makes me wonder, like, what does that mean to you?
Yeah. So two things, right? So first, I was talking to an elder who I respect in Milwaukee, who was always, every time I tried to organize an event, he always came, brought his kids and was like, I'm down, like, Monique, let me know. And he used to host this event at his house on Halloween that was like Black Superhero Day. And adults would dress up as Black history figures and you would come and tell the young people about who you are and what you did. And they would draw and like aspire to be those people. And having a conversation with him, he was like, you know what, Monique, like, this is a struggle, right? Like, it's a struggle. It's a work we are fighting. But if we're not teaching the young people that they can't find joy in defending Black people's livelihoods, we're doing it wrong. And so like that stuck with me, right? Of like, I shouldn't feel like tired or exhausted by this. I should feel some joy in doing this work. And it was later on, I read this book. There's a book called Joyful Militancy what's the author's name? Carla Montgomery, I believe is the last name. I'll confirm in just a second. But in the book, they're talking about the idea that we attribute militancy as very rigid, very cold, very direct. But if we pair it with joyful, we can think about being very strategic about resistance while also protecting our joy. And I'm like, that is it. Like, I'm trying to be a joyful Black woman. I'm trying to live my life like that. But I'm also not going to take no SHIT take from the wrong people.
You can say the, you can say the whole word on this, John. You can say the whole thing.
Sure. Like, not like, no shit.
Like, my aunt used to, God-fearing Christian woman. She didn't want to say the word right. So back in the day when we would like, you know, she dropped something on the ground or something, she'd be like, sugar, honey, iced tea. And it took me a minute to, I was like, auntie, you know, Aunt Coop, we call it Aunt Coop. What are you saying? Sugar, honey, iced tea. What is, you know, we kids, we don't really know what that is. And then when we found out what it was, we was like, yo, she cursing. Sugar, honey, iced tea. No, but that's dope. So I really like that joyful militancy. That really resonates with me because my mission is to humanize revolutionaries. Because for far too long, we've been ostracized and people think of us as, you know, like I said in the Gimme Two, as we start, people think of that all we do is protest and make noise and create problems, right? But actually, revolutionaries are educators. We are militant when we have to be, but a lot of us are not. Most revolutionaries do not stand on the front line. There's a lot of revolutionaries that all they do is cook. I had Kimberly Latrice Jones on the show a little while ago, and she was talking about how she has, you know, she prepares food for people, right? Cindy Liu, one of my close friends from Food Not Bombs in Philly, she is a huge figure in the movement here in Philly, and she feeds people. So the idea that revolution or that militancy has to be some hard, rigid, unapproachable thing, it's a myth, you know, and I wanted to show people that we are more than just the front line. Now, if we have to get on the front line, if we have to display that militancy in a way that they understand it, then, you know, we will, but we don't want to. What we'd rather do is be happy and be joyful. So I really appreciate that joyful militancy, John, right there.
Mm-hmm. It is 100% necessary. Like what you're saying is like, when we don't humanize folks, we feel disconnected, right? Like, we're not making room to understand the revolutionary inside all of us. We're not making room to not see them as human, fallible people that make mistakes and do the wrong thing and put them on this pedestal where, you know, it's easy to cancel them, right? As opposed to just thinking about we're human beings, and some human beings got different kind of assignments. There's some assignments are on the front line. Some assignments are making sure the people are fed. Some assignments are making sure we read it. Like, we all got assignments.
Why do you say that? Easy to cancel them.
I'm thinking about what happens, you know, everything that happens on the small level happens on the large level, right? Okay. And so on the large level, right, if a celebrity does something that people don't like, it's like, canceled, never talk to them again, don't talk about them again. And I know that's paralleled on the local organizing level too, where a person makes a mistake, because people make mistakes, right? And instead of like bringing them into community and figuring things out, people are like, don't talk to them, don't include them, don't let them know that this is happening. And it's like, why are we doing that? Like, why are we saying that there's one chance to get it right, and if you don't do it right, it's over, as opposed to like building the community that supports people to grow, learn, and change? And that cancel thing comes up way too fast, way too fast.
Yeah, you speak in my language, man. This is like really like music to my ears, because, you know, there's a lot of people that suffer because of that on a real level. When a revolutionary is fighting for freedom and fighting to feed their people, their level of canceling is put in prison for 100 years and dying in prison. So I really appreciate this. It's like, it's so serious how someone can and will just have this attitude of like, okay, we're going to shut this down because we don't like it. We don't understand it. We don't agree with it. We don't think it's good for what we're trying to do. So we're just going to shut it down, bury it, imprison it, kill it, whatever. Joyful militancy, if it emits the same kind of energy that you are right now, I know that this is going to be something that I'm going to enjoy reading.
I don't want to say that. It's a good book, but...
See, I didn't write the book, so I can't say all that. But I can say that I got something out of it.
There you go. You got it.
So what about you? Like, you know, you got a lot of good ideas. You obviously have something going, right? What about your book?
Ooh. You know, it's sitting in drafts and pieces of paper and post-it notes everywhere, and it needs to come out, and I'm trying to create the space for me to put some things out there, because I don't even think it's one thing. I think it's multitudes. One thing that is centered is like, we call ourselves, like, some people in regular corporate language would be like, Ubuntu is a consulting firm, right? That's like what people would say. But like, that doesn't land with us, right? Because it's like, that's not really true. Like, right. This is a learning community.
They're trying to classify it, but it don't have those kind of boundaries. It's its own thing, and it has its own shape. This ain't even a square, round, hole, peg type of thing. This is its own thing, own shape.
Yeah, I'm about to say, it's like trying to put Jell-O in the same category as an Oldsmobile. And it's like, these are two different, they're two different things. Okay. Like, no, they don't go together.
Jell-O definitely does not go with the Oldsmobile. Do they even make Oldsmobiles anymore?
I don't know, right? I'm old.
Listen. So I was talking to a friend today, and I was like, yo, we got to do so-and-so and so-and-so. She was like, yeah, let me look in my Rolodex. And I was like, whoa. See, I know what that is. So you got to chill, because like, do they even make those anymore? Can you get a Rolodex? What's a Rolodex? Like, come on now. You're showing both of our age. Stop.
My bad.
Nah, it's all good, because she did that. And I'm just, you know, whatever. So, you know, seeing how, you know, with the work that you're doing, it's really positive. I'm really excited about it. You know, and we see how cities treat revolutionaries, right? And I'm wondering, has the community of Milwaukee embraced you and what you do?
Oh, you trying to get me in trouble here.
See, I knew it. So, okay, let me take a stab at it. There's a core group that gets it and supports it, and they're with it. And outside of that core, you guys are pretty much alone. How accurate is that?
I'll give you a good 80%. That's 80%, right?
Okay, where the 20 at?
The 20% is there's a whole bunch who are attracted to what we got going on because of the aesthetic. You know, the same thing of like why people like the Panthers, like they look cool. Okay. But then it's like they get up close and we like, but you got to be down with this. And then people are like, whoa, I just wanted to wear the t-shirt.
Say, wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. You mean there's actually work that has to happen? Okay, here's what I'll say to that. So, Dead Prez, one of my favorite hip hop duos of all time. I love Dead Prez. I love Stick and M1 and everything they've ever put out. I know every word, right? They gave a message through hip hop. And the message probably could have been given through a sermon. Probably could have been given through some other way, but they did it in a way where people would be attracted to it so they could use that attraction that people had for it to teach them. And then you use that hook. That's the hook, right? Pull them in and then teach them, educate them. So I guess that's not terrible, but I'm happy that you got people like that though. Cause I'm still, my mind is still in ignorant mode where like ain't no black people in Wisconsin. And that's not also not to say that that white people or other people or people of color or whatever can't be influenced by the message of Ubuntu too. I'm stuck a little bit because I haven't seen it, you know, because I need to go to Wisconsin. We're gonna have to do a job where I come out there and you show me what's up.
Pull up, number one. But I just want to acknowledge, like, we're not just a couple black people. Black people make up about 40% of the city. Like, it's a strong contingent of black people in Milwaukee. And what? Of all the ilks, right? The black people who is down and the black people who not down and the black people who is ready for it and the black people who don't want to make time for it. Like, all of them is here. Like, we deep here. We get overshadowed because we so close to Chicago, but like, we here.
Okay.
Your face.
Yo, like, all right. Okay. So now that leads me to the other question though, like the kind of the second part of the first question or that question just now. What would you like to see people do more of to support you? I know what that means.
That's a really good question.
Yeah, bring it in.
It's a really, really good question. I think at the root of it is like we gotta let go of the ego, the shine that we think is what everybody's going for of like, who's going to be on top? Who's the most known? Da, 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 da. And it's like, it's not about that. Like, can we just like organize the fact that it's a black city? We're a small Midwestern city with a population of 40% black folks. We could be in control of a whole lot more if we just let go of being so over-focused to grab a little bit of shine as opposed to focusing on what's really happening with our communities. And the thing that I'm known for saying is like, we need to be making memories instead of looking for trophies. Memories over trophies. And I feel like if the community could like align with that, we would be in a great place. But you know, people want to get awards, you know, they want to put on a suit and march down the street. They don't want to do work or create the memories that would allow us to get to a new place sometimes. Mm-hmm. Not everybody, but just some folks.
You know? Some folks. I know the folks. I know the kind. but more specifically, though, what is something that they can do? Like, for me, like in Philly, cause, right? There's always the you can help us spread the word, right? There's always that core few things that anybody can do, and we appreciate that so much. But, like, more specifically, like one of the things I'm trying to do, one of my missions, I'm trying to make May 13th a national holiday, a national day of remembrance. We so far succeeded in getting Philadelphia, thanks to Councilwoman Jamie Gaultier, who pushed in city council to pass May 13th to be a annual Philadelphia holiday, right? Day of remembrance. But I'm trying to do that nationally. And how people can help me is they can like they can talk to their local reps and, you know what I mean? So what is it that you need people to do? How can they help you take your next steps?
Yes. So we have a partner with the organization called Love on Black Women, that gets funds or holds funds and helps support Black women in emergency situations. And we're working with them to relieve student loan debt of the Black community.
Mm-hmm. Break me off.
Just because the number of conversations of, like, you got single parents who was like, I was in school, but like, I didn't get to finish, and now I'm never going to get financially ahead because this debt is just trailing behind me. And it's like, this is the thing. Like, people have the knowledge, have the education, the passion, the will, but like, this debt is got a chokehold on them. And so if we're talking about direct action, is to send in money to Love on Black Women, or even directly to us, and marketing it for student loan debt relief, so we can work on getting that rid of that. Like, my focus for 2022 was to get a million raised so we can relieve the debt of our immediate community, and then be able to expound and put that on a larger scale. Immediate community, bringing our current team at Ubuntu right now.
Woo! A M. You got some big dreams, and that's a big dream.
Mm-hmm.
That's ambitious. How
we gonna try? I mean, what else can we do?
Hey, nothing beats a trial but a failure, right? And even if you fall short, you succeed, because the fact that you're working toward and trying for it and putting it out there in the universe. I wondered about the student loan thing. How bad is it? Like, I didn't go to college to get involved in all of that, but I wondered about that, like, student loan thing. I hear people talk about it like so it must be a real issue, but how bad is it?
I'll make it concrete and just put myself on the table here, right? So I have 3 degrees, which I have full scholarships to get all of my degrees, but I'm also a first generation student, right? My parents didn't go complete college. I didn't come from any money for anybody. Like, all of this was financed on my own, and I had the nerve to go to Howard and want to get taught by the best minds and all of that, right?
Start with the big dogs, right?
I want the Bamba, right? And so with that, even having full tuition right now, I carry six figures in debt, a little over $100,000 in debt. And part of that was like books. And this isn't even doing extra stuff. Like, I didn't do extra stuff, and I worked through all of that. This was like making sure that the semester could be, you know, room and board, books, things like that. And so here we hit the pandemic, right? And one thing that occurred was, like, they put a pause, a moratorium on student debt loan repayments, right? But the way the system is set up right now is that even if you continue to pay, it's not even knocking down the actual loan. It's only the interest. And if that is ever actually addressed, and me, right? Like, I'm running an organization. I'm not making big buku corporate dollars. It's equivalent to literally 3/4 of my income every month if I were to be able to pay what they think I could pay. And I'm single. I don't have children. Imagine being in the same situation and having children or having to care for an elder parent. It's crippling. And it's to the point where people are like, I can't pay this. So instead of paying my student loan debt, I'm just choosing to survive, because those are the two options. It's not even like, oh, I'm out here, you know, buying Starbucks. It's not that. It's choosing to survive or paying your student loans.
I ain't going to go no further into that, because I'm scared already. Like, oh my goodness, that's a lot. Well, listen, that's an ambitious mission, and I applaud it and I support it. And I think that I gotta get to Milwaukee so that I can, like, link up with you and see what's going on over there.
Absolutely.
So something that caught my attention is the work that you do and through the lens of education itself, right? And if people know anything about my story, like, school and I, we ain't have a good relationship. We was one of those, you know, on again, off again, Jones, till we was off and then never back on. but I got kids, and my kids, I sent them all through school, and I always made sure to tell them the stories the things that I know to be true, the things that I knew were not true, that, you know, uncovering the myths and whatnot. You know, that's part of the issue with schools, you know, and like you got into that space. How'd you get into that space? What made you go there?
Yeah, I was working at a school in North Philly, and I was just witnessing like all the elements of education at a school that was brand new. So it was I was an operations person at a school that was just fresh, taking over a new school in North Philly. And so my eyes were open to like the community needs, the school needs, the sort of district data, sort of manipulation, the political stuff. Like I got really like head first exposed to all of it. And it was so counter to everything that I have been taught about like what Black children need, what it means to run a healthy organization, what it means to be community-based. And like the friction between the two is really what sparked everything that happened in my career, even to this moment. It came out of being witness to what was happening in North Philly.
That is both happy and tragic at the same time. It's like, wow, Philly gave, like, I don't want to say gave birth to this idea, right? Because obviously you are you who you are. But at the same time, it's like, damn, Philly had to be doing really bad for somebody to like see it and then take it back home and build a model based on the disparaging issue, like all these issues with the Philadelphia school system. I don't even know what to say. Philly got to do better. Like really, Philly got to do better. Like I love Philly not everything about it. I love Philly though, because it's my home, but man, damn, that's messed up. That's messed up.
But you know what? What's also, so like I had that, but I also, you know, have been privy to Philadelphia Freedom Schools and Dr. Carr had been my teacher and being connected to the Africana Studies Department at Temple. Like I also had those examples. So like, that's why I was like, the friction came from like being privy to both of those things at the same time. So while the worst was there, the things that also led me to believe in better were also in Philly too.
There we go. See, I knew it. I knew Philly would come through. So you know what? Philly has some of the greatest and some of the worst of everything. You know, I could talk to you all day and all night. I really love your energy and your joyful militancy. And, you know, but unfortunately, we have to keep these conversations shorter than we do longer. Do me a favor, though. Tell the people how they can connect with you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I think on Twitter and Instagram are our most engaging spaces. You can follow Ubuntu at UBUNTU Research on both Twitter and Instagram. And you can find me on both Twitter and Instagram at A Black Woman PhD. That's me. And love to engage, talk more. All of this has been absolutely great, phenomenal opportunity.
We definitely got to do this again. Definitely. Maybe when your book does its thing, we'll talk again. I'm putting you on the spot. No pressure. Dr. Mo,
just accountability.
There you go. Thank you for coming through, helping me start 2022 off correctly. Make sure you follow me on social media. Make sure you follow Dr. Mo, and tell your people how to get on the move with Mike Africa Jr. And we're going to keep this thing going, and we'll see you on the next go round. All right, folks, that's a wrap. Make sure you keep on listening. And if you like what you heard, tell a friend, tell them how to get on the move with Mike Africa Jr. Leave us a review and give us 5 stars, because you know that Spotify is rating. No excuses, no more. Make sure you're following the podcast so you never miss an episode drop. Peace out.